SBS Italian.
No, but let's start from your life in East Timor.
Okay.
Yes. What do you remember about those days?
Ah, when I was young, teenager, yes, as a badminton player. So represent East Timor, which is start from maybe 1987, something like that. Yeah, then to 1989, that time I play a lot of badminton. So that's what my swinging that start from that year. Because that time I went to Indonesia training. So I went there trying for 3 months, like a full time serious, like a try to be a badminton player. Then that time I break a lot of string. Then I bring to one shop to string my racket. That's where I saw the stringing machine.
That was in Delhi.
So before that, I string a racket, like repair or string a racket without the machine.
Yeah. That's how you learn stringing, without the machine.
Yeah. I have to just string it just by hand, and then some bamboo, you know, and then some like a wood to make the tension, roll the tension, and then use the, like, you know, the bamboo, like a, make it like a satay, you know, to stop the tension. That's what I'm started. Then when I went to Indonesia, then I saw stringing machine. Then I give my racket to them, they string it. I said, oh, how cool is it? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about, like, oh, maybe I should, when I go back to East Timor, then I say maybe I should get a machine to string it.
Because in the meantime, you almost became a professional, like an international badminton player.
Yeah, it's like a national level, like a compete against other, like here we call state, like province. You know, that time Indonesia have 27 provinces. East Timor is the last one. So we every year we go to Jawa or Jakarta or Bandung, you know, any other city to compete. Yeah.
But you are East Timorese of Han heritage, right? So do you speak Bahasa?
Yeah, I speak Bahasa. So.
Do you speak Mandarin as well?
Yeah, background is from China, which is my grandfather came from China. Yeah, then my father born in East Timor. Then, of course, I'm born from East Timor as well.
But you don't speak Portuguese then?
That time I little bit, but now I forgot a lot.
So how far did your career as a badminton player took you?
That time from 1989 to 95. It's actually, yeah, up to 95, 96. Because I think the sponsor can't keep going, they're bankrupt. Then we still play, but we are not taking more seriously because of lack of like sponsorship. Yeah, from 1989 to 95 is like a series. Every year we compete, right? We represent East Timor. Yeah.
And you also come to Australia for the first time as a badminton player?
No, that time when I came to Australia, which is already like after marriage, so I don't really play a lot anymore. So then I came here, I play, just try to play more, but and then I injured myself. So I kind of stopped, then I start play tennis.
Okay. So where were you when the war broke out in East Timor?
That time was 91. There was a problem, which is there's a shooting in Santa Cruz. I'm not sure exactly how many died, you know. That was a bit, that's what they start from. Then we have a election in 1999. Yeah, then before the election, which is everyone already know that is going to be a problem. There's a pro-Indonesia, and then, you know, the what is called Fretilin, they try to independent. Yeah, so they have, before they have an election, then I came to Australia to avoid that, you know.
could you apply for protection as a refugee or asylum seeker?
Yeah, asylum seeker. That time, lucky I got a visa, like as a tourist visa. So it's come to because I got two sisters, they sponsored me. So I came, I think in March 15, I came to Darwin. Then that time, because Darwin is not kind of a lot of East Timorese asylum seekers, so they say if you want to apply, you don't want to go back, because that time was housing, business, everything's burned out, destroy everything. So all my parents in Melbourne, they say don't ask me, try not to go back, you know. So that's why I moved to Melbourne. So I live in Darwin about like two and a half months, and then I came to Melbourne.
Okay, and but without a family in Australia, how would you have made your way down here? Do you know any other East Timorese who left the country when you left it and made it to Australia without family helping them?
I think that time I was the last one. I mean, I was the last one to come, like a few last one to come to Australia. Because Australia tried to stop not to accept all these, you know, refugee. So when I came to here, so I was the last one, and then everyone said just go apply asylum seeker, so I can stay a special visa, you know, to stay in Australia.
Even though at the time in 98, violence hadn't broke out yet.
Yes.
In East Timor.
Yeah. Then I think they started. August after the selection, I think 31st August, which is nearly 10 years ago. 20 years ago, we talk about. Yeah, that time, then my brother, my auntie, they're still there. So they all left Dili, which is the capital city. Then my brother went to Indonesia. Also, my auntie went to Indonesia. So not many people in that country. That
did you leave anything behind you in East Timor?
Oh yeah, I got business, house, then so everything's gone.
Well, your business was already in stringing?
No, before that I do a lot of different type of business, you know, stringing or anything, you know, all over there is not specific like one sports shop. Yeah. There's a mix up with ISL, like yeah. Bicycle, you know, bicycle park, and then food, cigarette, everything.
But in the meantime, you had your first stringing machine in Dili.
I started maybe, I think 89, which is I got my first stringing machine, which is one of the sports shop. They closing down, so I know that they have the machine. Then I went there, then I get the secondhand machine. That's what I'm start from. For after a couple year, I have another new machine, which is same thing. Some shop try to string racket, but they don't know how to string it. That's why I got two stringing machine, but which is in East Timor, which is the only shop that does the tennis and badminton.
Okay, obviously tennis wasn't big there, but you found a big tennis community here. So was this your first job in Melbourne as a stringer?
Yeah, I came to Australia, which is with no English. So I have to start learning English. So that time, maybe after 4-5 months study English, then the school offer like working experience. Yeah, that's what I say, what I'm going to do. So then I said, okay, they ask 1 week's different job and another week's different. So I pick bicycle, which is I got that skill for the first week. Then after I did that bicycle working experience, then they offer me a full-time job. Then I rejected. I said, no, I need to study English. So the second week, which is I went to Prelude Tennis, which is now I'm still working there. So the boss Lou offered me like after he see me, I know how to string it, and then he offered me a part time job. That's what I'm start from there.
And that was exactly 20 years ago now.
Yes, that was 19 years ago. 2000, I think I start 2000.
Okay, so you found a job at Prelude, which is this well-known and established tennis shop in Melbourne, and you haven't changed there since?
Yes, yeah, haven't changed a thing. But I start with like probably 3 hours a week, because I need to go study English. So after like a Friday night, I start 5 to 8. That's what I'm start from. And then after that, Lou asked me more work, like work on Saturday. That's what I, you know.
And in the meantime, how's your status progressed in Australia from asylum seeker to citizen? What were the stages?
I think that time, the meantime, as an asylum seeker for quite a few years, I think until 2005, that's what I got the permanent citizenship.
Okay. And in the meantime, you established yourself as one of the best stringers in Australia. When did you realize, when did you start traveling the world as a stringer?
So I started 2009. So I worked for Lou nearly 10 years. Yeah. Which is you need those skills to become a Grand Slam stringer. That's what I started 2009. And that time, the same thing as I also worked for Badminton Australia Open, which is the same year where they started for the tournament.
When was your first Australian Open?
Which is 2009, tennis and badminton.
Okay, so in 2009, it's when Nadal won and Federer cried. Were you already in charge of the most important rackets then, or you started gradually?
You have to start it gradually, you know. So probably first you have to start qualifying all the player. But I have some main draw. I remember that time I strung for Songa. Yeah, that time I got for quite a few player.
Who was the finalist? In 2008, so it was still very important.
Yeah. It's actually, I got a few player, but I only remember I got the first one, which is Songa, quite big player. So the other is like a, you know, I'm not, I can't remember exactly because it's quite a long time ago.
So this is your 11th Australian Open consecutive. But in the meantime, you also went to the Olympics and you've done many other tournaments, haven't you?
Yes, I do. I think that 2009 and start Australia Open Tennis. Then the following, which is the same year, US Open 2009 and China Open. Then 2010, the same thing. I start from, yeah, it's exactly the same like Australia Open, then US and China, repeat the same.
And when did you start joining the Australian team for the Davis Cup?
Wow, that was, I can't remember exactly. If I, too many tournaments. Maybe after, let me think, maybe 2011 or 12, something like that.
So you've done 2 Olympics so far?
Yes, 2 Olympics. The London Olympic 2012 and then Rio Olympic 2016.
And in the meantime, you kept also string as for the badmintons.
Yeah, every year, badminton. Now I do a badminton Australia Open and New Zealand Open. Then some other, like, they got Sudirman Cup or Commonwealth, yeah.
It's obviously like a business that grew along with your skills. So nowadays, during an Australian Open, how many rackets do you, on average, string every day? And how many rackets towards the end of a tournament? What's the tally?
Roughly, probably about, like, now, probably it's not many, but before, start from quali, about 30 to 40 racket every day. Then it's a long hour. Start, like, some other start from 6 until, like, 1:30 a.m.
So considering it's about 20 days, right? So, but maybe not 30, 40 in the last 2 or 3 days because there's not many players around. But can you probably summarize saying that it's 900 rackets per tournament in a tournament like a Grand Slam?
You mean like a one stringer?
Yeah,
probably around 400 to 500 racket. Okay. Yeah, because I got Rafael Nadal, because I cannot string a lot of player because he always come request straight away. So if I have too many player, become like as we have like some Japanese stringer, they string for Nishikori. Mm-hmm. He also can't have too many player because those sort of player, they string a lot. Like we have a Serena Williams, like every match you got 11 racket, so they can't have too many player. Otherwise, if they play the same time, cannot, because player always request same machine, same stringer.
Okay. Yeah. So, but there are exceptions. Does it mean, because I mean, their tournament provides 6 rackets per day per player, but there are exceptions for Serena Williams, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. When did it happen that Nadal chose you?
It's not pick me, because last year I did his racket. There's no issue, you know. So this year, so there is no issue, because sometimes I have an issue with some other stringer, you know. So there's no issue. So then we design, I have again, you know.
Because obviously, according to the racket, you can always tell who strung the rackets, which stringer strung the rackets. So obviously, if a player has a complaint in relation to one racket, they can obviously ask for a different stringer.
Yeah, it's good stringer, not only like you are fast, not only you are do a good job. It's about like when you get tired, you have to concentrate, you know? You cannot make a mistake. That's what we call good stringer, you know? Some other stringer, their stringer very fast, or some other, their stringer very good, slow, but very consistent. But it doesn't mean they are good stringer. You have to stay there, not making mistake for like you work long hour. You know, sometimes you have to like work 16 hour a day and then just repeat it, you know? Yeah, that's what we call good stringer.
Did you ever get complaints by player?
Oh yeah, we do feel complaining. So
Personally, no,
because like all, more I deal with all the fussy one, you know, or very picky one. So I deal with that. Is there any problem? So they give it to me, you know. So try not to give it like some other stringer that, you know, not that experience. So to avoid it, you know.
Is it fair to say that you're the top stringer in Australia?
Wow, everyone's a good stringer. Probably I'm one of them. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to say the top stringer, you know. Everyone's a good stringer.
Okay. Besides Nadal, which other top players have you strung for? Kyrgios, Wawrinka, can you name all of them?
Too many players. I think the only player that I haven't strung is Roger.
Because he has his own stringer. He has team of stringers.
Yeah, but geography, I strung for him, but it's not like a whole tournament. He came early, like last year. I think I did his racket as well. Murray as well, yeah.
Okay, but were you particularly proud of any acknowledgement from any players in all your 20 years long career?
Yeah, I feel good because, like, confidence, because all the fussy, picky one, you know, they come, they give it to me, there's no problem, you know, which is, I feel good. Some other player is a very, you know, demanding, they want this and this, so after I strung it, there's no problem. Yeah, so, which is, I feel good.
Trova altre storie nella tua lingua sul sito sbs.com.au/italian.